Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to... Oh, I forgot. Damn it. Ladies... There's actually a blooper reel. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, cannibals and headhunters, welcome to another breathtaking and death-defying episode of The Completely Mental Misadventure of a Thrift Store. I am Matt Lehman, the owner of Finders Thrift and Vinyl in La Quinta, California, where our stories are recorded and housed. As always, with me to my left, your right, is... Doobie.
What's up, guys?
How are we doing today?
Doing great. How are you doing?
Pretty good. I got an online unit. How'd you do?
I also got an online unit.
Nice. All right, so let's discuss these online units before we go into what we've found or haven't found yet, because I haven't even touched mine. What are your thoughts on online versus on-site? Because we're almost all storage facilities have gone online now. The majority of them. There's still enough to make it interesting for live or on-site auctions, but the majority of them are now online.
You know, I'm going to say it's definitely a love-hate relationship, because when you're in person, you can see more than what's pictured online. Those facilities don't really take a good job of doing photos.
I don't know what kind of camera they're using, but I feel like it's some sort of Fisher Price Cookie Monster photo camera sort of thing, because the resolution on them is horrible. The one website, I was going to say the one website is better than the other, but that's not necessarily true. It depends on who took the picture, because on Storage Treasures, you can zoom in, and sometimes you can zoom in clearly, and you can actually see what's going on. On the other one, depending on who took the pictures, if you zoom in on it, it's just pixelated out. You can't see anything. So you're left with the crappy pictures that they took to begin with, which suck. So I'm in the same boat as you. I don't get any depth in the pictures, the other problem. Like, you can see, it'll tell you it's a 10 by 25. But when you look at it, you can't get a real feel for the depth. And I've noticed it a lot, especially when I've gone to pick it up. And then they open, you're like, oh... Okay, that's what I was looking at. What I thought was a 3-foot table is actually a 12-foot table. Awesome, super.
Definitely in the same boat as you.
That is tricky. My biggest pet peeve or my biggest complaint about it is you can't smell a unit, and that is important. I didn't think it was that as important as it was until I bought a unit that was, number one, a smoker's unit, and number two, had pets that... didn't really care after, or didn't take care of, I guess, or whatever they had in there just funkified everything. So all the furniture, all the clothing, everything in that was toast to me. I couldn't sell it. I couldn't clean it. So, and nor was I going to. What am I going to spend 4 hours cleaning a leather, or not even a leather, a microfiber couch so I can get $60 for it? Nah, not worth my time. What's the pros?
Pros, same thing, you can't really see all that well, so a lot of times people won't bid on what they can't see.
Yes. I will take a stab at a unit if the pictures are just absolutely horrible based on the sheer size of it, because if it's going cheap enough, I'm like, well, they screwed up by taking crappy pictures. And I've done very well at one unit that was out of Indio, Dr. Carrion. We were just talking about that before we started recording. The pictures were miserable. Everything was blurry. You couldn't see anything. And it ended up being like a $1,000 unit to me. And I paid like $60 for it because the pictures were so bad, it made everything look horrible. And everybody walked away from it. And I bought it for $60. And it was a money maker. I like that I can travel farther without actually traveling. I can sit in my underwear and buy storage units in San Diego if I want to. I don't often buy San Diego because their prices are way higher than they are out here. Online, those would be the online pros and cons. Live pros and cons, I think the bidding is tighter. I think it's cheaper. Their units are a lot cheaper live to me than they are online.
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot has to do with the heat. If they open up a unit and it's huge and packed.
That's true out here, because when it's 120 and they're selling storage units that are 10 by 30 jam-packed, the value of it goes down considerably, considered if it were December or January and it were 10 by 30. I think it's also because we deal a lot with people from, because they're online, we deal with people from out of town. And we deal with that quite a bit. I've talked about that on here before, is if we have people that come in from L.A., they'll buy up storage units out here and take them back to L.A. because they've got a higher profit margin. Now, they're losing money on gas and drive time, but they're getting a much better return on their furniture and their clothing and their knickknacks. It's a much larger market for them. So we have to be careful not to let them do it. I think that's one of the reasons we're getting more. But I agree. There's also that part of it's freaking hot out here. Yeah. So those are the ons and pluses and minuses of online and offline. I'm not a big fan. Actually, I kind of like the online ones because we were also talking about this a little while ago, is all of the units that go up every month. Like, there's the same people over and over again that are not paying their bill, or they pay it at the very last minute. So I'm not looking at online or live units saying, okay, there's 6 units at this facility today, and then 3 at this one and 2 at this one, because invariably when you get to a unit, there's not the number that they have. People have paid up and moved on with their lives. Whereas at least with online, I can go through these units and say, oh, I've seen that one last month. I saw that 6 months in a row. It's not going to sell today. So it doesn't waste my time. And that's key to me on, for me especially, because I have the shop, so I can't really leave to go to live auctions a lot. So what unit did you buy? How much did you pay? Where was it?
It was an Indio, and up until the last hour, I was going to pay $10. And then it ended up costing me
$30. Oh, wow, $30 whole. What was in it that made you want it, and what was in it after? Because you actually went through that already.
Yeah, I already cleared it out. It's clean. Got my deposit back. So honestly, there was a blue toolbox that they don't make anymore, and I wanted it for the sole reason because my dad, when I was younger, bought 2 of those to turn into tackle boxes for us. And my favorite's color blue, and they didn't have any, and then they stopped making them. So that unit had one. So I wanted it.
Nice.
So, now that's my tackle box.
I like those units when you see something. I'm a firm believer of there are signs. If you see something that there's a sign in it, then there's a reason that there's a sign in it. And that blue tackle box would have been your sign. I've got to have that blue tackle box. I had one. This was after... So my great-grandmother... Or not my great-grandmother. My grandmother died... 4 years ago in December, and before she died, she's the one that loaned me money to buy the box truck, which is the linchpin of my business. Without that box truck, my business is dead in the water. So she loaned me the money, and she always wanted to be a part of my business because she loves what I do. And she came out here a couple times when she was in her 90s just to see the shop and hang out. And before she died, she was dying. We knew she was dying. She had COPD, and she was also 94, so it wasn't a huge shock. It was a loss, but it wasn't a huge shock. But she had said, look for me at storage units, I'll find you, and I'll be with you at all times. I was like, that's cool, awesome. And the very next storage auction I went to was up in the high desert. It was deep high desert. It was up in 29, off of Amboy Road where you turn to go to Vegas. And there was a unit that had, was that online? No, it was a live unit. And I saw something in there. I think it was a garden gnome or something like that. And the garden gnome is something that I've always called my grandmother a gnome because she'd gotten shorter and shorter over the years. As you get older, you shrink and shrink and shrink. And by that time, she was only about 4 feet tall. So we always had a garden gnome that we took around with us, and she was my grandmother, and we'd take pictures and send her out, and she had one as well. So I saw one of those in there, so I bought the unit, and it was a really, really good score for me. And the only reason I bought it was because I saw the garden gnome. So I'm a big fan of believing in symbols or having those section moments. So I bought a unit in Palm Springs for $560. And you had seen that unit. I was surprised that it went for $560. I figured I was going to be in it for about $750 was probably my max, but I might have gone up to $1,000. I really expected it to go $1,200 to $1,500. I don't know why it went so cheap, and I can't tell you why it went so cheap because I just bought it this morning, and I have not been over to pick it up. I will pick it up on Friday. which is irrelevant to this podcast as to what day of the week we talk about. But I'll be picking it up in the near future, and I'll tell you what was in it. I liked it. Everything was professionally wrapped. There are mid-century modern couches, which are just pure money to me out here in mid-century capital of the world, Palm Springs. I don't know if they're like IKEA or knockoffs or if they're originals. Doesn't really matter. They're white, and they appear to be in very good shape. So if I have a white couch, it's in good shape. The odds of that happening are slim to none in the desert, but I'm hoping that whatever dirt is on them is just dust and can be wiped off. But there was a lot of other furniture, and the whole back of it is nothing but boxes. It's like a 10 by 30. So I think it should be pretty good. What did you think when you saw it?
It looked killer. The pictures were great on it. You could zoom in, yeah. And the couches looked white.
Yeah.
No dirt.
And you could see all the cushions were in the back. And like I said, it was professionally packed. It had the rocking horse in it too, which is a vintage rocking horse. Everything in there looked like they took care of their stuff and had money. Or if they didn't have money, they really enjoyed what they had, I guess is the best way to put it. They took care of what they had. So I think it'll be a good unit. I'm hoping it matches the one I bought, which we talked about last week. I've had a couple of pretty really good units lately, and I'm pretty happy about it because I had a couple of hits the time before that. We had talked about that. We just talked about the online stuff. I don't remember if I talked about this at all. I bought a unit. I very rarely spend more than $600 or $700 on a unit because we've talked. I'm not a big fan. It's much easier to get my money back or double my money on a $500 unit than it is on a $2,000 unit. Well, I went crazy on one unit. This was Christmas, just before Christmas. My family was coming out, and my mom loves to dig through storage units, and my dad likes to. He doesn't necessarily like it, but he likes to hang out with the family, so he'll dig through it. And my whole family's coming out, so I wanted to show them what we do as living. They already know, but we wanted to do it as a family affair. So I was like, I'm going to buy this unit, and I paid $2,500 for it. But I outsmarted myself because it had said that it was an abandoned unit, and the difference between an abandoned unit and a lien unit is a lien unit means that you couldn't get back into it. You stopped paying on it. They locked you out. So everything that you had in there is in there. An abandoned unit means you pulled everything you wanted out of it, left it, told the management, said, hey, I don't want this anymore. Just sell it off at auction and keep the proceeds, whatever. So generally, there's not much in it. Well, this unit was listed as an abandoned unit, and I felt that they didn't know what they were talking about because I'm stupid. What had happened is the unit looked so good. It was perfectly packed. Everything was professionally packed and looked really nice. I could see antiques and the legs of furniture that were mid-century modern, and you could see a mid-century modern couch in there that was the real deal, and it was in great shape. So I said, well, they probably just listed it incorrectly. Let me check out their other auctions. And they had probably 8 units that week or that month, and all of them were listed as abandoned units. So I'm like, well, they obviously just listed them incorrectly. They didn't know what they're doing. I'm like, ha-ha, I've got a leg up on the competition. They're not smart enough to know this. Yeah, well, it turns out it was an abandoned unit. What had happened was that her apartment had flooded. She was a burlesque dancer. She was actually one of the most well-known and earliest burlesque dancers, and still holds the world record for being the oldest burlesque dancer. She's like 76 and still dancing. She was known as Satan's angel or the devil's angel or something like that. She was known for having the only woman that could have 5 tassels spinning at the same time. She had 2 on her nipples, 1 on her belly, and 2 on her butt cheeks. And she had a special suit made, not a suit, but like it was nylons, a bodysuit. And I had like 5 or 6 of the bodysuits. However, they turns out they're not worth a damn. Even though she was fairly well known, that's a very very insignificant market, apparently. What had happened is her apartment had flooded. The company that was hired to clear out her apartment and restore the damage, put everything in storage while they restored her apartment. After they restored it, she went through and pulled out what wasn't damaged and what she wanted, and then went and left the rest and told them to auction it off for charity. So I have the distinction of saying I donated $2,500 to charity, so that's awesome. But other than that, the unit was garbage. I think I made $200 or $300 out of it. So I took a massive hit on that one. It hurt a lot. It was a big loss. And then right after that, I had bought another unit for $2,000 that had vintage stereo equipment. Because I decided, at some point I decided I wanted to be a big player. And I have since realized that I don't really want to be a big player. I like what I do and I'm good at it. I bought a unit for $2,000 that had a lot of vintage stereo equipment. And it was one of those where you could see pictures and you could zoom in, but you couldn't zoom in close enough to see the model. I know enough about vintage electronics to see them and to look at them and say, okay, that's a nice piece of equipment. It's a nice receiver. If it's X, it's worth $300. If it's Y, it's worth $2,000. So I figured, even if I spent $2,000 and it was all mid-range stuff, I would still make my money back on it. If it was higher-end stuff, I'd make a killing on it. Drum roll. It was all mid-range stuff. I ended up making my money back, but it was a long, slow process. It was painful to make my money back, but I did get it back. So it wasn't nearly as bad as the burlesque dancer one. Those are my bad beats. You have any bad? You don't normally spend. You're smarter than the rest of us. You're only going for the $20, $30, $40, $50 units.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be a big player. The most I've ever dropped on a unit was about $2,800, and that was 10 years ago when I first started.
What was in that bad boy?
It was ended up being a party rental business that went out of business.
I can see that, maybe.
Bad thing was, there was no Facebook Marketplace, there was no OfferUp, so a lot of that stuff ended up just sitting and getting dumped eventually.
Did you make any money out of it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you also spent, and you were mentioned on earlier episodes of the Completely Mental Misadventures, because you were, and at that point I didn't give your name, but you were the guy that bought the motorcycle unit that was Frankie's first auction. So you bought the yellow motorcycle unit and you paid $1,800?
Paid $1,800.
$1,800. And Frankie and I talked about that and I said, I think that you probably will get your money. If I remember correctly, I said, I think you'll get your money back, but I think the profit margin is not there on that particular motorcycle. But what I had missed was there was a whole unit behind that. There wasn't a lot in it, but there was a tool chest and there were some boxes and stuff like that. So how was that unit?
Yeah, so that unit ended up being pretty great. Motorcycle was awesome. I don't know if it runs or not. I still got to get a key made for it.
That's a long, slow sale because you bought that months ago.
Yeah, it's been like 3 months.
So you're just holding on to the motorcycle.
It's honestly, it's sitting in my garage and kind of out of sight, out of mind, because I don't do any business out of my garage. The motorcycle just happened to fit, so that's where it's at for now. Tools alone and the tool chest, I probably made about 600 baht. There's about $200 in gift cards, and there was actual money on the gift cards.
That's bizarre. I find gift cards, but they're very like $3.12.
The most I ever found was $100 on a Home Depot gift card out of that motorcycle unit.
Wow, nice.
There was some Pyrex that you saw.
Yeah.
And then there's a nice Hope chest from probably early 1900s, and it was made in the U.S. I'm working on that to fix it up to sell. And then just a bunch of random stuff you'd usually find.
Nice. Did you find video games in there? Or was that a different unit?
Oh, I did. I pulled two N64s out of there.
Nice. That's good stuff. N64s are still hot. They are now considered retro. So they're still good money. But you still have the motorcycle. So you need a key for the motorcycle, you need a battery for the motorcycle, and you need... Well, do you have the title for it, or do you have the sale?
I have the lien sale paperwork, so right. I just have to go to DMV. And luckily, as you mentioned in the earlier podcast, it was registered up until May of 2019.
Yeah, it was pretty current.
So there shouldn't be that much in back fees, yeah. I wouldn't think.
You should get on top of it, though, because that amount that goes up quickly, fast. Okay, so we've talked about units, we've talked about old units. I have a couple questions that I always ask people, and to me are always interesting. In the 10 years or 10 plus years that you've done storage units, first question, how many guns have you found?
I have found zero.
Me too. I have found zero guns. I have, but I again, I am always next to the guy that has the good shit. I have been next to the guy that, and that was Daffy Duck, bought a unit. I think it was Daffy. It might not have been Daffy. Somebody popped a unit, and it was just unassuming. And next thing you know, he's got like 4 rifles and 6 handguns. I was like, are you kidding me? What is this? And it's just this unassuming box, the cardboard box in the back covered in dust, and it's got like 6 handguns in leather cases. I'm like, get the hell out of here. I have found barrels, rifle barrels. I have found stock. I have found ammunition in every unit I have ever purchased. And wow. And that is not an exaggeration or a lie. I have found at least 1 shell or 1 bullet in every unit that I can honestly remember. Every one of them. Even the tarot card one from 2 weeks ago. There was 3 or 4 like 9mm shells. So I don't know what that's all about. I always feel like I'm the bridesmaid and never the bride, because I'm always like, yes, there's going to be a gun in here somewhere. And I never find it. Never find it. How about money? Have you ever found, and not like a jar of change, even if it's like $60 in change, but have you ever found legitimate bills more than 20 bucks?
Yeah, I found $200 in a unit once.
Nice. Like, 20s, 10s, 5s?
$200 bills.
$200 bills. Do you dig through books? Because you're just always supposed to go through books because people hide money in books. My grandfather was notorious for that. And unfortunately, my grandma didn't realize that until she took all the books to donations. So whoever was going through donations probably made out like a bandit. Because my grandfather was Depression era, so he always would stock away 50s and 100s in books. And they had a huge library, like probably 1,000 books, all, and he had read all of them. Like he was a voracious reader, and so he had all these Louis L'Amour books and whatever. And probably every one of them had like 50 or 100 bucks in it.
Jeez,
yeah. So kudos to you, Goodwill, or whoever my grandmother donated to. Do you go through books or?
I do go through books. The easiest way for me, because we find books in pretty much every unit.
Yeah,
I flip it upside down, flip the pages, nothing falls out.
I'll just thumb them real fast, because usually it'll pop open to a page that's got something in it. I have found real money in one unit. I found money in a lot of units, like 5, 10, 15 bucks or whatever. But I found real money in one unit, and this was a co-purchase with Mike. Mike is my other really good friend, best friend. He is my lawyer. I have him on retainer. That's not true at all. I like to say that, but it's not true. But he's the one that helped me with Tyree for the paperwork and getting his pictures and stuff back to him. But so he was doing that at one point while he was going, just before I think he started law school. We bought this unit in India, and it was kind of a nightmare of a unit. It was a 10 by 30 or 40, and it had double doors, one on either side. So that's how big it was. And when we started going through it, you could see that this person had been evicted, or their house was foreclosed on, and they were what I would call a vindictive evictee. They pulled out all the door handles. They pulled out the attic hatch, like the ladder from the attic. They pulled out the appliances. They pulled out the marble countertops. They pulled out the screen doors. The faucets, anything that they thought that would screw the man, they pulled out of the house. And that's what was in the storage unit, and then there was some other stuff. But what was also part of that unit, which was the buyer, or I'm sorry, the original owner, was we had talked to the facility manager, and the facility manager hated this guy. Like, I can't even stress to you how much they hated him. He used to drive up in his Jag, and just berate them and scream at them at the top of their lungs because they were the devil. They were horrible human beings because they were taking his stuff away from him, and that they just were just scumbag people. And they said he just swore at them for like 20 minutes of time and would get in their face and just scream obscenities. Now, he's also a pastor. He was a pastor of a small church in Palm Springs. I don't remember what it was. I'm pretty sure it was either a Free Methodist. I think it was. No, it wasn't Free Methodist. It was. What are the Bible? Oh god, I'm afraid to say this. Bible thumpers.
Mormon.
No, it wasn't Mormon. They were Bible thumpers, like where they come out and my grandma always called them Bible thumpers. They will come out and smack you on the head and get the demons out of you, and then there's a lot of active whatever not Free Methodist, but that's my parents, my father is Free Methodist. It's and gospel, big gospel music and stuff like that. But anyway, so he had a church in. We found somewhere in the neighborhood, I'd have to ask Mike, but I think it was somewhere in the neighborhood of $400 or $500 in envelopes for the church. In the church pew, or in one of the, not the pew, but the bench for the organ, because we had the organ in there as well. So we're not exactly sure why the money that was obviously donated to the church were in this guy's personal storage unit, which we thought was kind of weird. Not nearly as weird as when we opened the other side of that piano bench was nothing but porn, and it was possibly underage porn. It would have to be argued, I think. I think Mike and I would both argue that some of it was really close to being underage porn. And then he also had another side business that he was doing some sort of bikini car wash in Palm Springs. And he had, and it was really just a crappy flyer with photos that were printed on white paper that were really kind of pixelated out of girls in bikinis and bikini car washes. And come, and I feel like it was a donation bikini car wash, which I thought was kind of weird that the church was doing a bikini car wash. But and so we took that money and we donated. I think we donated 20%. Mike is pretty big in his church, so he donated 20% of what we found to the church, which we thought was a fair amount of money. And I think that's the only time I've found real cash outside of like a change jar that had like $50 in it because it had a ton of quarters. I think that was the only thing I found in cash-wise. It's not like you see on TV. It really is not.
Definitely not.
No.
Not pulling millions out.
No. That does happen, though. I mean, it certainly happens from time to time. We've talked about it on here before, and you're always looking for. There's vicious rumors going around right now that stuff that had sold a couple of weeks ago is worth millions of dollars. You were at that auction. Yeah, those are rumors that are speculating right now. I'm kind of still waiting to see if we hear anything else. I don't think I'll hear anything else because it was kind of kept on the hush-hush. It'll probably be one of those things that comes out on Yahoo or Amazon or come out in the news in like 2 years and be like, yeah, if I knew it. I didn't go to that one. I don't know what happened there. I believe it was a weekend auction, which I don't normally go to, but I've heard it from this point now three buyers have said that there was really, really good stuff that came out of there. But I'll keep you posted if I hear anything, if we hear anything or anybody knows what happened. We'll see how it goes. That's it for another episode of the Completely Mental Misadventures of a Thrift Store. If you have any questions or comments or would like us to talk about something that we haven't talked about yet, please drop us a line at finderslq@gmail.com, finders_thrift. If you're a record collector, finders_vinyl, and you can always get a hold of Doobie at Doobie on Instagram, which is 3 O's, DOOOBIE. Thanks as always. Good luck out there and happy hunting.